This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Did you hear what Rosenberg said?
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds.
That's right. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening and welcome to ENN on this Wednesday evening. I'd like to get started by saying good evening to Michael.
What is your favorite of the meats?
I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
When did they start calling the buffet the round?
And I'd like to say good evening to myself.
I demand they use the anal thermometer.
You ever get the sense, Peter, that
right?
Don is sneaky mean? Yeah, he's a good guy, every man, but he's sneaky mean.
No, never crossed my mind once.
Okay.
No, just it's funny.
You know, I know what you're doing there, Michael. You're trying to flip the script of this show and turn Don into the bad guy, but you can't do it.
That would take a lot of work, a lot of heavy lifting to make that happen.
Now, are you going to do anything?
Michael is full heel. Michael's the full heel of this show. Is that correct, Peter?
For the most part. For the most part. He has his occasional babyface moments, but for the most part. Speaking of heels and babyfaces, by the way, I did a great interview with the Women's Royal Rumble winner, Bianca Belair, and it is on the Cheap Heat podcast. You can subscribe everywhere. And also, I've restarted my YouTube channel. I've been neglecting it for many years, and now I put up a bunch of content on there, youtube.com/Rosenberg Radio. A lot of wrestling content, and I'm going to be doing more up there, so I wanted to throw that out there if you want to hear from Bianca Belair, who's just a delight. Now, we have not talked all day about the Mark Cuban NBA National Anthem story. If you missed it, the day started with Mark Cuban announcing that the Mavericks were done with the National Anthem. They had not played it in their 13 home games at American Airlines Arena. And so then it instantly became a conversation. The NBA then responded and said they expect all teams to play the national anthem. A couple hours ago, Cuban was on The Jump with Rachel Nichols. Here's him clearing up the story around the national anthem.
We're always talking to our community. I mean, that's something Cent stands for and is very insistent upon and has become a core part of who we are at the Dallas Mavericks. And in listening to the community, there were quite a few people that voiced their concerns or really their fears that the national anthem and did not fully represent them, that their voices were not being heard. And so we've had a lot of conversations about whether or not we should play the anthem. And so during the first preseason game, we decided to not play it and just see what the response was, knowing that we were going to have ongoing conversations about it. We didn't make any decision to never play the national anthem. That wasn't the case at all. We didn't cancel the national anthem. We still had our flag flying proud and up on the wall at the American Airlines Center, and everybody had the opportunity to address it and pray to it or salute to it or however, whatever their feelings are. And, you know, as the games went by, honestly, we kept on talking about what we were going to do at some point, but obviously it came to the head when it was reported that at one of our games that we hadn't played it. But, you know, the bottom line is we had always discussed the fact that we probably would end up playing it at some point, probably when fans came back, but there was never any final decision that had made that we would not play the anthem.
Cuban was also asked what Adam Silver said to him. And here's what he said. Back to Adam Silver.
Nothing really. I mean, I talked some to Adam and got his feedback and gave him my feedback that, you know, we had people who were upset by it and were passionate in them being upset. And we had people that fully supported it, that, you know, a lot of people said that they don't understand why, you know, the anthem is played prior to a game. Others said it shouldn't be played prior to the game. Others said it didn't represent them and they're concerned about being played and it made them uncomfortable. And we talked about all the different feedback that we had received.
And lastly, Cuban says he wants everyone to feel represented.
I knew the press release was coming, and we're in full agreement with it. Look, we have no problem playing the national anthem at all. I stand for the national anthem. My hand is always over my heart. We've supported the National Flag Foundation and done work with them. That isn't the issue at all. The real issue It's how do you express the voices of those who feel the anthem doesn't represent them or causes them consternation?
And how do you do that going forward?
Well, that's why we have SINT. You know, that's the programs that we are setting up with SINT. You know, we listen, learn, we unite, we have courageous conversations, and we'll have many more of those, you know, with our current players, with our former players, with key people in the community. We have DMAC, which are our organization of people from the community that we listen to on these issues. You know, we don't do this in a vacuum. We make these decisions after having talked to and listening and making sure that, you know, our goal is to have all voices heard, not just the loudest voices.
So there you have it.
I don't understand why you wouldn't want it to be played. If I do a Ranger Maple Leaf game, they play the Canadian national anthem. I mean, that doesn't mean anything to me. I'm not Canadian. I enjoy the song, but I stand for it. I'm respectful, but that song doesn't speak to me. But I don't mind it being played. Should it not be played? If you don't think it represents you, but should it not be played?
Well, you're being disingenuous though, because the Canadian national anthem does speak to you, Don. We know that you would.
Well,
love
no, but meaning
being
it's
Canadian.
Not my anthem.
Sure.
And it's not you know Mika Zibanejad's anthem when they play the American national anthem. But you stand and you listen to it. I don't know. Does it have to be eliminated
after the show?
I understand
earlier
you should be allowed to do what you want to do. If you want to sit, then you should be allowed to sit. If you want to go up and get nachos, get nachos. I wouldn't be disrespectful to the people around me and say talk on the phone. But does it have to be eliminated, Peter?
Well, I'll just say this. From now on, Don, when I think of your anthem, I think of the earlier part of the show, and I think of it being this.
I'm just having a conversation.
I
just find it interesting that everybody flips out about the anthem. Meanwhile, they didn't play for 13 games, and I'm just hearing about it now.
Well, you know what?
Nobody even noticed it for the first 12.
Right.
That's what I was going to bring up. But
it's the
thing that bothers me, okay, it didn't speak to some people. Well, first of all, there's nobody in the stands. That's number one. Number two, the reason I don't like it, and I'm not
well,
quite
Dallas,
sure.
Well, Dallas they are, right? No, there are fans in Dallas, though.
Oh, so there's, what, 200 people in the stands that didn't speak to them? That's ridiculous. And I have a feeling, let's not play the anthem so that our players that might not agree with it and might sit down or not that they don't get criticized. So you're trying to avoid that.
Probably.
That's probably a big part of it. The third thing is, And Cuban brought this up before today. Do they play the national anthem in every single business in the country? They started playing the national anthem before baseball games during World War II, I believe.
Right.
I probably heard the national anthem more than most human beings have ever heard it. And I never understood. Well, it's a beautiful tradition. I understand it. I stand up proudly for it. But what is the purpose of playing it before a sporting event? I don't get it.
But my dad said they used to even play it before movies.
Yeah, and they don't.
When he was a kid.
Do they play it before plays or Broadway shows? No.
Well, listen, I'm a mixed bag on this. I understand. Do I understand why people want to hear it before games? No, not particularly. I have moments where it feels impactful, you know, when there's like a big moment and it feels like something. But day to day, I've never understood why we have to mesh patriotism and professional sports.
There was a great, great feature on ESPN on Sunday, and Don remembers this distinctly. Whitney Houston's national anthem before the Gulf War Super Bowl was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. The top 40 hit.
It was galvanizing. It was an amazing thing, and I just don't like if they didn't play it because they were trying to avoid controversy with players that didn't want to stand. That's the wrong reason.
All I'm saying, Peter's right. I don't know why sports has to have this responsibility, right, over like movies or concerts or you know, festival, whatever. For some reason, sports now has this like responsibility to uphold this tradition. But so it doesn't speak to you. And I'm a believer. Listen, if you want to kneel, kneel. If you want to sit, sit. Because it doesn't speak to you means it has to be eliminated.
So well, that's why. But that's why
you just can't sit there and just all right. This isn't for me. This doesn't speak to me. So for a minute and a half, I'm just going to ignore it. It's got to be taken away.
Well, but here's the thing, though. That back to the point Michael was making about he shouldn't do it for the reason of protecting his players. But like Don, to your point, let's be honest. If in this country the thing you feel is I don't want to stand for it, I want to sit, I want to kneel. That's not okay. That's has not been treated like it's okay. So I think, yeah, you and I are good. We'd go to a game, and if they play the national anthem, I'm going to stand. I'm not going to sit there and kneel during it. That's not what the national anthem connotes to me. So I would stand. But the problem is, if you're someone who's like, I don't care for the national anthem, it represents this, this, and this to me, and I'm not into it, and they want to sit, that will cause problems. That's what we've seen. I
mean, but I'm just giving you my opinion that rather than eliminate it, you should let people to do, as long as they stay respectful. I don't think you should be on the phone. I don't think you should disrespect the people that do enjoy it and want to honor it. But if you want to sit there, you know,
one man's respectful is another man's disrespectful. So there are people.
That's the problem.
At the Garden for Ranger games that start, pot fan stinks. I'm cleaning it up.
Right. No, I know. Middle.
So, I mean, that's disrespectful, even if they're standing up.
Right. I mean, I yell, oh, every time we get to the final say at the end.
But that now we're getting to the crux of everything, is that it's not that you're disrespecting the anthem. It's taken on a whole another level. Because nobody's ever cared that it's not played, you know, on television, because they'd rather sell spots. Or the fact that when they get to the, you know, Rockets red glare in Washington, everybody screams red. You know,
Nobody
ever said anything there. It's just it's being used politically, and that's what stinks about it.
They do that in Washington now for Capitals games?
Yeah.
Oh, that's stupid. it doesn't work. I'm sorry. I know red's their
color. Actually, it does. It does kind of sound, you know, cool. But
No. I get it.
And
it's
Stars games when they say Stars. And nobody ever had a problem like you're being disrespectful. So let's say what it is. It's nothing about you're disrespecting the anthem. It's being used in another way.
Now, last thing on this story. I don't know if you guys felt this way. Watching her's performance of America the Beautiful before the Super Bowl, I would favor an all-out swap, Star Spangled Banner for America the Beautiful.
Right.
It's such a better song.
Or God Bless America. I think God Bless America is a better song.
But the Star Spangled Banner just has no zhuzh. America the Beautiful, that's a song.
Yeah.
And instead of it being about war, it's just about the beauty of the country. I don't know. I'm a big America the Beautiful.
I just think you were taken by her's beauty.
Well, I'm a big fan of her. Let me be honest. For a variety of reasons. Todd McShay spoke earlier about who he thinks the Jets should go with at number two.
The Jets, I have them taking Zach Wilson, the BYU quarterback, who, after studying all the tape of these top prospects at the quarterback spot, I think, based purely off of film, that it's Lawrence, then there's a little gap, then Zach Wilson, then there's a gap, and then it's Trey Lance from North Dakota State, and Justin Fields from Ohio State is that third tier, if you will. But I have Wilson going two, and the interesting part here is it could be to the Jets if New York is able to move Sam Darnold and get some draft capital for him, maybe a third-round pick this year, or first or second-round pick next year. But if they don't move Darnold, then I think they wind up moving out of that spot, is what I should say. And in that case, it could be a team like Carolina moving up from 8 to 2 to go get Zach Wilson. So moving Wilson to 2 was more about Wilson being clearly the number 2 quarterback prospect in this class. And if it's not the Jets, it could be another team moving into that spot to go get him.
Boy, you had to get excited, because when Steve Young was talking about Wilson, took a look at his stats, 33 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Again, he's not playing the highest level of college football competition, but these scouts, the Todd McShays and the Mel Kiper, they see through that. And boy, people are higher on him, I'll tell you that.
Did I hear right? Did he say Trevor Lawrence, then a little bit of a gap, and then Wilson? Little bit of a gap?
Yeah,
the season, it was Fields a little bit of a gap between Fields and Lawrence. Is it possible that as we get, you know, I don't know if he's going to even throw at the combine, but, you know, if when we get to draft day, that might even get closer?
Don't know.
And this is the folly that I talked about when the Jets won that game against the Rams. It's like, oh, Lawrence is the consensus pick. This is a guy that is going to be amazing. This is the greatest prospect since Andrew Luck. And now, is it possible by the time we get to the draft that Wilson may not be equal to, but close enough where it's not that awful that he's your consolation prize?
I would be wary of that. I mean, Trevor Lawrence played the best of the best. Wilson has not. I mean,
I know.
If you have arm talent and everything, I mean, but it's a big difference playing against, you know, Alabama.
True, but you know, you've got a lot of quarterbacks that excelled. You know, did where was it, Texas Tech that Patrick Mahomes went?
Yeah, yep.
Right. What was their, you know, level of competition compared to what Clemson goes through every year? And you know, he's still the best quarterback in football.
That's why he probably dropped the 10.
And that ended up being a mistake. I'm just saying, listen, I think Lawrence is the consensus number one pick. I'm just saying that it didn't seem like anybody was going to challenge that. Then it looked like if anybody was going to challenge it, it was going to be Fields. And now it's Wilson when it was Zach what's-his-name to now where he might be a smidge below Lawrence. Look, they got, how much has changed? And when was the last time they played a game?
Yeah. Peter, I want to check in with you if you're okay.
Go ahead.
Larry Flint died today. You all right?
Oh.
Why would I not be all right?
I don't know. I know you were a big reader of his publication.
Well, nobody reads the publication. I think he glanced at it.
I honestly was never a Hustler guy.
Really?
Well, Hustler, yeah, because that's like a different level. That's like really degenerate level.
When you're young and you're desperate, well, I should say past tense because this doesn't exist anymore. Up until the internet, when you were young and nothing was more exciting than seeing a dirty magazine, right. You want to see a Playboy and maybe a Penthouse. I was a little intimidated by even opening the idea of opening the Hustler. You don't know what you're going to get.
For a young kid, like a 12 or 13 year old coming into his own, that's scary.
That's jumping straight to the pros.
That's too big of a leap. That's 12. That's a little leaguer going and facing a 90 mile per hour fastball. That's a bit much. But I'll tell you what, that's a fantastic movie with Woody Harrelson.
That is a good movie.
That is a very good movie.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Tom Brady had a good time today. He threw the Lombardi trophy from one boat to another.
And then probably threw up.
It was caught by Gronk. And then video showed him getting off the boat, clearly wasted. He has tweeted and confirmed that tequila was the culprit.
Okay. Avocado tequila.
Yeah, I don't even know about avocados.
Even when he's getting wasted, he has to think healthy.
Right, because he only eats avocado ice cream. He loves chocolate and, like, sprinkles some cacao.
Cacao.
But it's weird, though. A guy who won't eat anything, like, will not put anything joyous in his body, gets trashed this day?
Well, but yeah. Well, today's the day.
Okay.
Yeah. Wouldn't today be the day? Yeah, today's cheat day. I hope he's having something more than avocado ice cream with cacao. big news in Washington.
What is that?
A quarterback has been found.
Yes.
Taylor Heineke signs a two-year deal worth $8.75 million.
That's right.
How ironic. I think Tom Brady probably had a case of Heineke today.
Now, I said this the other day, and I was laughed off, but it is true. No quarterback was better against that Tampa defense in the playoffs than Heineke.
No, you guys stop think yourself. You're embarrassing yourself and your family.
Did he do enough, did he do enough to you to earn a two-year backup deal for $8 million?
No, he hasn't.
No, really?
Well, it's one game. Now, I'm not saying it's an awful contract or whatever, but, you know, you're going to base it off of one game?
Well, he was brought there supposedly because Rivera and his squad liked him in Carolina.
But it's one game. Are you telling me that he's better than Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees? No, he just had a.
He's Mahomes level. On this day, we will not have time to play the audio, but in 2012, on this day, one of my favorite days in New York sports history, Linsanity went wild. 38 points in a win over Kobe and the Lakers on a Friday night at the Garden. I was there. It was gorgeous. And that'll do it for ENN on this Wednesday evening.
Rangers coming up. Don does the play-by-play. See you tomorrow, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.